5:31. Let's get this thing rolling because we got a very full agenda.
Okay.
We put yours up at the front so we can get you in and out.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, our vice chair from last year, go ahead and kick us off.
All right. Thank you, Jim. It's Covenant Condition Restrictions Committee meeting, Monday, January 8th, 2024. It is now 5:31 p.m. And would the clerk do a roll call, please?
I would do that.
Yes, go ahead.
Tim Israel?
Here.
Sid Bazette?
Here.
Bob Dutta?
Here.
Candace Hill Calvert?
Here.
Terry Eastwood?
Here.
Jim Mott?
Here.
General Manager Alan Gardner?
Here.
Well done.
Thank you. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it's called. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals may be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Approval of the conformed agenda.
I move that we approve the conformed agenda.
Do we have a second?
We still need to do the agenda.
We need to approve
the agenda.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So the motion.
I move to approve the agenda.
Tim?
I'll second that.
Tim seconded that. Now, do we have a motion on the table to approve the agenda as presented? Any questions?
You need to call for the vote.
Okay.
Approval of agenda first.
Comments and then
Do we have any comments on this issue? If not, we will proceed to call for the vote. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved as presented.
I move that we approve the conformed agenda.
We have a motion to approve the conformed agenda. We have a second.
Second.
Second. Any comments on the motion to approve the conformed agenda? If not.
Just, I was not in attendance, so.
Tim was not in attendance.
Nor was I. I just reviewed it by reading it.
Okay. Right. Well, with those two comments, do we have any other discussion? If not, we will move to approve the conformed agenda as presented. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those oppose it, say nay. No objection, the conformed agenda is approved. The first item on the agenda is the open forum. Members of the public may speak on the matter. This is where the gentleman here will be hearing his case, correct?
No, that can't be on the agenda.
This is
okay.
On the agenda.
No, it's nomination of committee.
Yes,
item three.
He's on the agenda.
So I am not.
So this
open
gentleman
forum.
Can speak if he chooses.
Right. Yeah, I do choose. May I?
Yes, please.
Okay. So Paul, for the record, Paul Gilchrist. I submitted today, and I apologize that I didn't get my application in for the meeting prior to this, but I am having a fence replaced because of last winter around January timeframe. It came down. It has been propped up for over a year. One of the neighbors is the neighbor at 3288 Veld Way is claiming that she has no responsibility to maintain, repair, or incur the cost to replace said fence. All the other neighbors have agreed to the CC&Rs and say, yep, we're responsible and are going forward with the repairs that are scheduled tentatively for the 24th and 25th of this month from a professional contractor, fence company guy. I do think that the CC&R committee and group should be aware that this has been ongoing for over a year. And there are significant safety issues. One of the yards does not even have a gate to stop anyone from going into the area where fences are being replaced, and so I think it brings a safety and security issue, not security, safety issue to the general public. And I do think it's important that the CCNR committee take this and don't allow this situation to continue, because I think it would allow others to allow the same to occur. So that's my under 3 minute testimony.
Thank you.
And and Mr. Moog has the application, got that into him this morning.
Yeah. So we'll get that on the agenda for you.
Okay, and if I need to attend a meeting, let me know. And I do have photos, if you want me to email you those as well, I can do so.
Yeah, feel free to, every bit of information that we can have will help.
Okay.
This is a fence program that actually is in the CCNRs. Like, you know, the exhibit in that CCNR says that we have to have top cap, eight foot on center, I think, with the posts, mm-hmm. and including the middle band. They're very, very specific on the fence type. As long as it's replaced like that in the exhibit, you're good to go.
Yeah.
As far as it pertains to disputes over fences, those are domestic disputes. We do stay out of them. And mind you, I grew up in this county. Growing up here, when I was a kid, nobody had a fence. Right. Eastwood Park wasn't built yet, though, either.
It was still a ranch.
But nobody had a fence. It was designed to be open urban area. It's changed a lot in the last 5 years. So there, fences, and often it's a common dispute. So if she has a complaint, I'd be happy to hear her complaint, and we'll educate her on that.
Yeah. And I'm more concerned about the safety issue with children playing,
sure.
and so forth. And I think that's where the CSD has some leverage, should I say, because I don't think the CSD would want something under their guides that is a safety issue to continue.
Thank you.
My 2 cents.
Any questions from the member of the committee? No. Thank you.
Okay. I'll hang for a little while, then I gotta go.
Absolutely. The next item on the agenda is item number 2, nomination of committee chair and vice chair.
I'd like to nominate Director Bizet for committee chair.
And I'll decline that nomination. And I'd like to nominate Director Detta as chair.
Thank you. I accept the nomination.
Not a director, but he's been
I'm sorry, chair. He's
been here a long time.
Chair.
We do understand that.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
So you're the one who has to call the vote.
Well, then I should call the vote. I've been nominated as the chair of the CCNR committee, and those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those oppose it, say nay. Having heard no objections to the nomination, I'm being nominated and voted to be the chair. Thank you. The next item is vice chair. We have a nomination open for a vice chair.
I nominate Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
I'll decline it.
It's like a chess game or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make another nomination, and it can be a board member. It's just the nominations of chair and vice chair. We do, if anything, like to split them up, because the thing is to try and help get our community members to rise up through the ranks.
So I'll nominate Director Bizet as vice chair.
Okay, I will accept that nomination.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you. We have a nomination for vice chair as Director Bizet. And those in favor, we want to take a vote on this. Any questions, comments? If not, let's proceed to take a vote. Those in favor of nomination of vice chair Bizet as the CCNR committee member, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. No objection. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you.
Now you're vice chair of CCNR committee. All right, so that's out of the way. The next item on the agenda is CCNR Field 3900 Placidas, transmittal attached.
Can you scroll to the Okay, you all have an agenda transmittal in your packet. And you have it in yours, right? Okay. So as you recall, we had a complaint on a shed being built in the front yard. The vote on that last committee meeting was to have the shed removed by the end of January, I think it was. Recommendation at that time from general manager was to have it removed. I met with, as you guys, most of you guys know the story, I met with the fire department out there as directed by the CCNR committee. At that time, I assumed if it was fine with the CC or with the fire department, it would be fine with the CCNR committee. Did not know that it had to come back, because we very rarely have had these things go back and forth. My recommendation was, as discussed with the owner on the property, was to screen it. And I was overruled on that by the GM. Since then, we had appeal from the owner. And with that appeal, I took it to legal to get some better direction on it. And just as the appeal had mentioned in his letter, there isn't the clause that gives the CCNR committee to take a look at the community as a design planned community and make any of their own decisions outside those CCNRs. There's a lot of CCNRs that do give us that, give the committee that. This one specifically says, as long as it's within setbacks, it just has to be screened. This goes for storage areas, boats, any kind of materials, whatnot. So even though the gentleman's shed is out in front on the driveway, legal saw it the same way as the homeowner, as well as the way I was reading it, and was recommending, no, just take it back to CCNR. We were going to take it to the board, but she agreed that it would be better to take it back to the CCNR so that you guys could understand in this neighborhood what we can and cannot do. And per the CCNRs, because it is within that setback, he can screen that shed. Okay. Now, last I talked to him out on at the property, we talked more of a living screen, because a living screen can be allowed to go a little bit higher than our fence rules can, as well as you building a fence would be kind of redundant, wood on wood. I think that's kind of what we were thinking on there. On the driveway side, there's not a lot of dirt there. There's but there is the opportunity of maybe putting a planter box and raising some foliage up along the shed there, or some kind of other optional screening that if he were to come up with another type of screen. So with that being said, the recommendation is to screen the shed with living wall of plant life that can be grown in the front of the shed, northwest side looking back on the street, and the north side of the shed along the driveway can be screened with plant life using a planting box or other material. With the approval of this recommendation, the owner may cancel the appeal. We would be done.
Do you have any pictures to show us?
I believe I do. There you can see it. So, fire department took a look at it, and like the fire department mentioned, if there was a window somewhere next to the shed, then he wouldn't have accepted it. It's set back far enough off of the neighbor's side, a fence line, and it's set back off of the frontage.
Is it a corner lot?
This is a corner lot, yeah.
Okay.
We talked about foliage up in here, so when you're looking at it from the street, it would disappear with something like a photinia or something like that that's fast growing that can be trimmed back as a hedge. And we also talked about a screening on this side. So that's what legal is recommending per the CCNRs. That's what they say we pretty much have to do. There can be no additional recourse.
So your recommendation is screening it as you approach the property from the street view.
Yeah, you would have it screened from two sides.
Right.
That's what's required per the CCNRs.
And the other side already has fence.
This side already has a fence line and plenty of foliage, yes.
Okay.
You can't see it from, I mean, you have to kind of come into the front lawn and scooch down to be able to see something.
So I guess I'm a little confused. Legal said basically we have to screen, it can be screened.
Per the CCNRs, right? As long as it's within the setbacks, it just has to have proper screening.
So screening means a fence or a living wall or
correct.
Whatever the owner wants to do?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Good question. Any other questions here? And would the homeowner like to make any comment?
I have no comment.
So you're supportive of this?
I mean, it's a welcome change to the previous vote, I suppose.
And that was your appeal to get us to be able to screen.
Yes, I offered to screen.
Yes.
So the answer is yes.
Yes.
All right.
Is it that simple?
You only get one shot.
No, he got a couple of shots. Oh, and he was very much in the right with his appeal.
Yeah.
And it's something this whole committee struggled with as we reviewed it. Right. Now we have clarity on it and education.
So point of order, this is an appeal of a previous decision of the CCNR committee. What is the action plan now? What do we need to do to reverse the previous decision, if that's what we choose to do?
Would be to take a vote on the recommendation of screening that staff is recommending.
I move that we accept the modification with the screening and approval of this shed.
I second the motion.
And that would be an all in favor?
The chairman is calling the roll.
Yeah. Just kind of nudging them along here.
Those in favor, we have a motion on the table to follow the recommendation of the staff relating to this appeal. Those in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 Those oppose it, say nay. Motion passes unanimously. The recommendation as presented by the staff is accepted by this committee, and the appeal will be dismissed by the homeowner, correct?
I'm not sure what the process is for that.
So with that being said, shed stays, you do some screening. The only thing that wasn't clarified is how long can we get the screening, how long would it take to get screening in place? That's something the committee may be able to ask. Also, you would also need to declare that you will retract the appeal. Now that the appeal has gone through, it's done. If you're satisfied, we retract the appeal.
And that's something you want me to do in writing?
I believe you can do it here in chambers because we record that here.
Well, I think I'll wait till. Am I going to get something in writing? Am I going to get a letter? Am I going to get anything?
I can follow up with a letter to you.
All right. Yeah,
it's public record. There's a vote that was just taken.
I understand.
Yeah.
But it'd be appropriate for staff to,
it would be
to send something, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to hold off on any other
fair enough
until I have it in writing.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That matter is resolved.
Thank you, Bryce.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is welcome back tutorial about the role of CCNR, responsibility, meeting dates, etc. Would
okay.
that be Tim?
That would be me. Okay, yep. In your guys' agenda, you all have the CCNR handbook. Also, I want to, you know, we're kind of done with the formalities and whatnot going into orientation. I do want to introduce everybody to our new general manager, Alan Gardner. Do that publicly. Thank you for joining us. We do have a new board clerk, Sarah. So Sarah's learning the ropes and everything here, helping us out with some of these, definitely on board, and we'll see if we can work her into some of the committees in the future too. So I'm not gonna go into heavy detail with the the actual handbook, but I would encourage everybody to read through the handbook. It was just recently amended to include the fence guidelines, so it was amended last year. That means, and again, this was something I did with legal, if it's put into policy, if it's put into the handbook, then we can enforce the fences in our town. So overview, violations, enforcement process, committee, CCNR office descriptions, and CCNR process. So to give you a quick overview on everything, you guys are a CCNR committee. With that comes some responsibility, but also with that also needs to come some discretion. And the reason why I say that is because our staff here, me and Tim, we're the enforcement out there, okay? You guys live here in Cameron Park, and as a member of the CCNR committee, I respect that you're here. I really appreciate everything that you're going to be doing in this next year, but I do ask you to place some caution in displaying any kind of enforcement in your neighborhoods. Leave that to us. Let us get in that way. Let us be the target. You guys are volunteering members of this committee, and we want to keep you safe and harmless, okay? So know that. As far as the CCNR department, our department runs basically two different departments. So we have enforcement in our communities, which are by the letter of the CCNR only. A good example is what we did just here. We tried to work on design intent with that neighborhood, tried to get the shed out of there because it is in the front, but we kind of overextended our governance a little bit there. So we had to back up based on that appeal. And I'm very hopeful that the resident is satisfied and happy with that decision because we appreciate all of our residences as well. While our office is usually the office of bad news, we do actually do a lot of good in this community. Cameron Park is only 11 square miles for this district. We have approximately 3,400 homes, and we have around 23,000 people. So with that being said, there is many, many neighborhoods. There's over 90 different neighborhoods in Cameron Park, and there's over 70 in CCNRs that we actively work. Okay. Some are just some maybe 12 homes. Other neighborhoods are 400 to 500 homes. Okay. So our meetings are held once a month. They're going to be the first Monday of every month unless it lands on a holiday, and then it's going to roll over to the next Monday. As a committee member, we do request that you work hard to attend these meetings. There are policies in our guidelines, not our guidelines, but there are policies in our board packet and whatnot like that that does state that three consecutive absences, we have to make a decision.
Is that excused or unexcused absences?
Yeah, well, we're not in school, but excused and non-excused. But we do have alternates, and we do know that people have to take time off occasionally, vacation, stuff like that. But what happens is when it becomes repetitive, you're not serving the way we need. So if I could, I'm going to go over to our presentation real quick. And that's, yeah. Okay, so this is kind of like a little workshop, CCNR workshop. The next slide, slide number 2. That's okay. Just scroll up. That's okay. Might just have to close out. That's okay.
It was on the desktop?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Actually, it was.
Where your holidays?
I was trying to do the presentation.
Oh.
It was excellent.
I didn't
do nothing.
Just
didn't
do
go anywhere.
Click. Okay. So as I mentioned, Alan Gardner is our general manager. I'm the CCNR enforcement officer. Alan is my boss, and underneath me we have an inspector, Tim Reimer. Some of you have met him. Next slide. next slide. So covenants, conditions, and restrictions. The CC&Rs are the rules of your neighborhood that describe the requirements and limitations about what you can do with your property. The goal of the CC&R is to protect, preserve, and enhance property values in the community. And the CC&Rs are a recorded document that run with the land. Words meaning run with the land, meaning they're not going to expire. They're not going to be altered in any way unless those residents who own a home in that neighborhood, they own their CC&Rs. In the state of California, you build a home with a development with three houses or more, it's got to have some kind of rules attached to it, be it HOA or CC&R. Okay, so these do not get changed. Now, every CC&R has a different formula for amending as well. Some are 51%, some are 75%. It's all over the board based on the CC&R. This day and age, and with the way people collaborate, I don't see CC&Rs changing any time in the future. So, it's quite an undertaking. It does require recording at the county and all that. So, CC&Rs, CPSD and Cameron Park homeowners, home seller and buyer. Who owns the CC&Rs? It's the property owners within the subdivision. And this came about in 1986. This office was put into place in 1986 by the voters of Cameron Park. It was supposed to be managed by El Dorado County, but El Dorado County has their own set of rules, most of which are the setbacks. If El Dorado County was still managing these CC&Rs, you wouldn't have a 5-foot, you wouldn't have a 10-foot setback on the sides, you wouldn't have a 30-foot setback in the fronts, which is most of our neighborhoods except for Bar J Ranch. Okay, so with that being said, those setbacks were specifically designed for three different reasons. One, storage. Two, watershed, because we don't have storm drains in most of our neighborhoods. And three, fire protection. So that if a neighbor behind you was on fire, fire department could still get a hose pull around your home. Okay. So we try to really make sure those are intact. There are a few items up at the county that allow encroachment. One of those is pools. As soon as I came in here, I shut that down. We are making sure people put their pools within their set setbacks. We have too many undulated properties, tiered properties. Somebody overfills their pool, floods out a neighbor. So the only thing I'll allow encroachment on is the pool equipment. And if it's within 4 feet, it has to have a sound barrier installed around it. This also, CPSD works to assist property owners with attaining compliance with their CC&Rs as well as architectural review. There is a little new caveat that's put into all this, and those are ADUs. Okay, I think it's a very poorly written rule for a community such as ours. I think the ADUs should have been limited to properties that are an acre or more, but the law is there in place. They can trump any CC&R in any HOA. And they have setback encroachments up to 4 feet. We cannot do anything about that. I think it will cause problems in the future, especially in neighborhoods like Eastwood Park, where you're only allowed to have one car in a driveway. Imagine if you had two residences on one lot. So it's going to cause future problems, but we'll just have to address those when we can. Next slide. Enforcement process. So the CC&R officer must perform an inspection and confirm the violation. Even if a resident sends us a picture, we cannot use that picture in our files. We have to go obtain our own. We do not take any pictures over the backside of the fence. That's true for even fire department. First notice of violation is mailed to the property owner. And I probably should edit this a little bit, but this would be considered the initial notice. We actually have a fourth notice where we do a courtesy notice, and sometimes even a fifth where we do the neighborhood campaigns. And some of you know about the neighborhood campaigns we've done through Cameron Park. So it goes courtesy notice, initial notice, final notice, and then pre-legal notice. These pre-legal notices, I'll be coming to you guys when it gets to that point of having to get pre-legal, and I'll be talking to you about the case and whether or not we should move into pre-legal.
Jim, do you have set durations between, say, a courtesy notice and the first notice and the final notice? Do you have set time frames?
That's a very good question, and yes, we do. So between courtesy, initial, and final notice, We have usually practice about a 30-day, okay? And when it gets to final notice, if I'm not mistaken, final notice is a 10-day. It's actually written on that. Timelines are not written in any of the other notices. The final notice is a 10-day, and the pre-legal, obviously pre-legal means we need to talk and get you into conformance, or we're going to be going to legal counsel to send you a notice. Answering your question, it's about 30 days in between each until we get to final notice, and then we apply more pressure.
So when it goes to legal, then what happens?
In my 4 years, we have not had to go past that legal notice, but right. We have in the past, in which case it would go to court. It would actually first go to, I think, what is it called, mediation? Yeah. Mediation, sit down. There's cost incurred in that.
So would we use our counsel or hire somebody to mediate?
CC&R department has their own counsel.
Okay.
Yeah. We have Chronic Law. They specialize in CSDs. They're out of Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
We just hired them, I believe, last year. Released our old counsel and brought on this new one. The reason why we chose this counsel is because they also manage the CC&R for El Dorado Hills. And since our CC&Rs are so very similar, with the same kind of typography and whatnot, and working with the same court system, we found that to be a good fit. Yes?
Come in. They have a good reputation.
Mm-hmm. They've been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. How often do we use their services?
With discretion, because it all costs money. And unless we go to court, we don't recuperate those costs.
Do you know what our budget is for legal out of this committee?
This year, when I came here, it was $20,000 a year. And then we reduced it to $13,000, which I had last year. And this year, it was reduced to, I think, $8,000.
What does the letter cost us typically?
It ranges between $350 and $500.
And
so that's where I practice discretion.
So the vast majority is resolved with just the letter, the legal letter?
Yeah, we have not gone into any court or any mediation from the legal notices. Usually it's the pre-legal notice that gets people to jump, because that's also the certified letter. Those pre-legal notices get hand-delivered.
And that is done by you, by staff?
That has to be done by the post office. So for a track record, you have to put it through a certified letter system.
No, I'm talking about the letter itself. That's managed.
The letter I put together, yeah. And then we do certified mailing on that.
Just stepping back. No, you don't do it. It's this committee approves it, and you're acting on behalf of this committee.
And then I write the letter.
Yes, okay.
And then the legal notice comes from legal counsel.
Yeah.
Now, what happens then is I get approval from you guys for pre-legal. They don't satisfy it. I can go and get that letter from legal without bringing it back here. I usually bring it back here as a staff update and let you know I'm taking that next step. Any mediation or any additional cost factor, that will go to the board. If we have to go past that legal notice. Because obviously if we get into a mediation or even go to court and we lose, we're not going to recover those costs. And if it's a big hefty chunk, we've got to pull that from our reserve fund, which is something I protect very, very closely. I don't like to tap into that fund. I do wish that we had a little bit better budget in legal, and I hope that we can get to it. What I've been doing lately is, if I have not used all my funds from the previous year, I will roll that over under retainer so that I don't lose those funds for legal.
When you say roll it over into retainer, do you actually pay the law firm a retainer increased amount?
I pay them a retainer, and then they pull their services off that retainer.
Okay.
And usually I do exhaust that retainer throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And then we go into what's budgeted on.
So it's kind of like a buffer.
It's a buffer.
Yeah.
Because I need it. I mean, there's been some, 2 years ago, I think I did a lot of legal notices. But we've gotten our arms around this community a lot in the last 3.5-4 years and done a lot of cleanup. And we're seeing call volume drop and complaints drop. And I think because they're getting the education. So violation will go before the CCNR committee in open session. This is after pre-legal. Committee will review and make a motion to forward the issue to the board of directors for potential legal action. This is pre-legal and then coming over to the board when I do an update.
Would happen before going to the board?
After. We would go to the board before taking that step.
So then we go to mediation.
Yeah, because there's two letters that can come from legal. One's the legal notice, and then there is...
Is that a civil suit? What kind of... Is it
civil?
So it's basically us suing the property.
Administrative.
Gotcha.
And is the end result is there's a lien placed on the property?
And if we win in court, there's a lien placed on the property, yeah. In which case we just recovered a lien 2 weeks ago from a property that we did a case on in 2006.
Mm-hmm. And the statutory interest applies.
Mm-hmm. And exactly that. So the case was awarded us at $6,000 at that time. The interest accrued took it over $13,000. And that's what we collected on the sale of the house.
Where do those funds go?
They're in the CCNR budget, which will probably be rolled into the fund balance for CCNR.
It comes into the CCNR budget?
Yeah, it goes back into the CCNR budget.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because that's where the money originally came from to do the case. It goes back into that.
The money's coming from Chudo.
So
Jim, one quick question about, mm-hmm. just clarifying question. Before mediation, you actually file a lawsuit and the court will order alternative dispute resolution, which could be the mediation process, correct?
My understanding is the two, your defendant and your plaintiff sit down at a table before going to court. They try to hash things out. We try to get an agreement there.
Before you file the suit,
before you
do mediation voluntarily, you ask them, you want to mediate?
It's a notice that will come from our legal side.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's the first step before you go to court.
It's not binding arbitration.
Right.
Okay. Next slide. Cameron Park CSD does not have the authority to amend, change, or revoke CCNRs. We talked about that.
Yeah.
The residents of the specific neighborhoods can vote. Number 8, this is where Architectural Review Committee comes in. Architectural Review Committee is a subcommittee to this committee. So, in my report, you'll see some of the projects we reviewed. But we review the plans for the exterior home improvement projects and new construction. Any exterior change to your property is required to come through. It used to be the county felt the same thing we did, and that is it's a repair or replace, no worry, go ahead and take care of it. Now the county is actually requiring permits even on repair and replace, so they're forcing us to do the same because they won't issue a permit until we've reviewed it. So that means a fence fall down, they've got to come through. Or a deck when they're replacing the deck boards. I've seen a lot of decks come through lately because of this.
So, why do we need to do that?
Eldorado County will not release permits until they have received approval from us first.
Well, but why do we need to approve something that has no improvement on the property? It's just repair.
Because we have to review it and do a letter in order for the county to release a permit.
Well, that's what the county wants from us. Do we have to do that?
Yes.
Why?
Because they will not release the permit without a review.
So the people are going to get a permit to do the repairs?
Yep, even if it's one sheet of T-111.
Because the county told them to do that?
Yep.
Are we pursuing these and reporting people on this?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not going out and busting people for changing out one piece of siding.
Repair and replace.
Even repair and replace.
We're not reporting that to the county, are we?
No. The only things that I report to the county is grading, because grading is a county matter.
Sure.
Digging on the site, stuff like that. But when I see someone, there's a lot of homeowners that do not know the rules.
Well, an illegal structure, something like that, I could see it. But in this case, it's just the county's policy to recover fees. I mean, it's not making any, at least in my opinion, I mean, superficial things like a fence.
Yeah. So we review the applications, and when an application comes in, if it doesn't meet the CCNRs, I call the applicant, let them know what needs to be done. If I need more information, I make sure. The goal is to make sure that everything is conformance with CCNRs before it gets to the ARC committee, so that we can get this thing pushed through. We meet every 2 weeks. A lot of these permits are over the counter, like roofing, solar, stuff like that. They're over the counter at the county, but we meet every 2 weeks because we have to do this by committee. Once a week was just burning up the committee. We were doing that for the first 2 years I was here, and they were just getting burnt out. So we've educated all of our contractors. They're aware of that. So a majority of stuff comes through by contractor.
Where do you meet in this room?
Yes. The purpose is to ensure compliance with the CCNRs and preserve the neighborhood. The committee currently meets every other Tuesday morning at 8:30. Currently, it's a three-member committee consisting of, and these are the new members, Jeff Huerman is currently the chair, Don Clayson is the vice chair, Kathy Markin is coming back because she is a building inspector and knows all these laws, as well as myself. And that puts together the committee. We then report what's come through ARC to the CCNR committee. If there's any disputes, like for example, if this gentleman's neighbor doesn't like it, and she doesn't like what I've had to say of educating her, she's welcome to come in and discuss it with the committee. Which are subject to ARC? Swimming pool, patio cover, re-roof? Yes, all of them. All of them.
Check.
So, even house paint. And here's one thing that comes to mind. This also is kind of one of those things that I think would also help answer some of Tim's questions. County doesn't care about house paint. Doesn't at all. And most of our CCNRs don't have a color palette in it, except for Eastwood Park and some of the newer neighborhoods. However, we still want that to come through. Because if it's a hot pink, which I'm going to tell you, that house on the runway entrance at Airport in the Airpark Estates, that was designed in hot pink. There's no color palette in there, but this committee worked with that applicant to at least tone it down to a salmon color. And with all the treatments, it actually looks pretty good.
Maybe lots of screening, too.
Right. So when someone comes in and says, why do I need to get an approval for my house paint? It's an easy explanation for us. We say, so we can protect you. So if a complaint comes through, we can tell that complainant they did their diligence. And this was what the CCNRs read.
I had to deal with one time that was bright purple.
Oh.
And I had to deal with one that was vermilion. It was gorgeous, but it was vermilion.
Oh, yeah. There was a yellow house in El Dorado Hills.
You remember the yellow house
debacle?
They
flopped out for years.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. You were not... Yellow was a no bueno there.
And I hate to tell you...
Smurf house.
That Bristol blue that people are putting on their homes around the community right now, it is the hottest color on the palette right now. You talk to Sherman Williams and Kelly Moore, the hottest color right now is blue.
How original.
And it does turn that kitchen next door blue on the inside. Next slide.
Right?
That's the complaint. Oh. Now I got a blue kitchen. No, I can't. If they did their diligence, no.
Right.
But we'll cite them and have them come in and we'll explain it to them if they didn't do their diligence.
Oh, my goodness.
So projects to ARC requirements are... new home construction, room addition, swimming pool, storage shed, roof solar panels. Solar panels, not 100% necessary because that's considered a utility.
Oh.
And not even the county can deny it. But they still get their money for it. Mm-hmm. And we have our solar contractors that still come through.
Mm-hmm.
Exterior paint and siding, decks, porch, patio cover, trellises, gazebos, fences, retaining walls. Landscape in some neighborhoods, not all. Tree removal and place structures. Tree removal. El Dorado County has an oak tree ordinance. We are considered an oak tree forest. So many of our species of trees require an arborist report in order to remove. Now, this is an El Dorado County code.
Yep.
If anybody ever disputes it with me and doesn't want to go through the process, I am happy to just say, not a problem, call the county, they may waive it. I am not an arborist. I cannot determine from a photo if that is a blue oak, a black oak, or a white oak. If I'm on the site, I can look at the leaves and figure it out. But from a picture, I cannot. And they can deal with the county on that since it's a county ordinance.
But it's only for oak trees.
It's only for
oak
trees.
Yeah, because we don't have enough of them.
And some neighborhoods, my neighborhood, for example, says you can't even trim it.
Really?
I do not agree with that.
No.
I've grown up here. I know oak trees. I know how to trim them. Everybody knows how to trim them. But
that's a safety issue.
You've got to, because you end up with dead limbs that have to be trimmed.
Even a scrub oak that's falling. And
Scrub oaks are the easiest one. Yeah. Live oak, they're the easiest ones to abate. I do not think they're on the protected list because they're the fastest growing out of all the oaks. And I think, is that it?
That's the last slide.
That's it. So any additional questions?
How long does it take for the county nowadays to approve one of these and get it?
It depends on what the permit is. Are you talking about trees specifically or just permits in general?
In general.
Okay. So roof, solar, stuff like that, a fence that's maybe 8 foot. Eldorado County doesn't require a fence permit unless it's over 7 feet. Most of that stuff can be done over the counter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But your bigger stuff like new home construction, division of lots, a full renovation of the home, joining up the roof lines. I've got one in right now where two separate pitches and they're turning it into one pitch. So that would be an exterior renovation. It would not be a roof project because they're changing the roof line. Mm-hmm. And those will take a little bit longer.
So I've done stuff before. I finally just give up and do it. It's been so long. Appointments happen. Nobody shows up.
Take lots of pictures, lots of notes. Yeah. Make sure your contractor is not going to be held in harm's way of that kind of stuff. But I would definitely make sure that if you go without a permit, make sure you document everything, because if they want you to back up.
It wasn't in this neighborhood.
If they want you to back up, you can sometimes back up that way.
Cool. I've actually seen one time where they required the house be removed.
Damn.
I'm serious.
And we do not allow any prefabricated homes here. And I still hold that to be true with ADUs as well.
But there are some prefabricated homes here. Was that prior to?
Not to my knowledge.
Are there not?
We have one prefabricated home community, and that's at Green Valley and Campbell Park.
Right.
Yeah. Some homes do look like they're prefabricated.
Maybe that's why I'm confused.
Because they're just a rectangle box.
Yes. Yeah.
But they were built on a company.
Okay. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay.
Good job, Jim.
Thank you. And that will take us to our next item.
Yes. Monthly staff report.
Okay, that's still me. Open violations. So, just to give you guys a heads up, these numbers are not as high as usual because we did practice some let's leave the community alone through the holidays. So when it comes to CCNR, I'm sorry, the total cases is not noted there, but it is 39 at this time. 39 cases are open. I think some of you remember when we were in the 70s and 80s. Currently we have out 10 courtesy notices, 10 initial notices, 4 final notices, 3 pre-legal notices, and 2 outside agencies. Prior month cleared cases was 4, prior month new cases was 2. And
there's 2 outside agencies, one's that court over off Boeing or whatever, right? What's the second?
I think you're thinking Royal Park Court.
Yes.
Yeah, that one we've already spent all our money, did everything with the court, and it's right in the county's hands.
Right.
The second one is on Hillcrest Road. It is a house that has a lot of pallets. The guy just collects a lot of stuff that's a fire danger, including the home itself is a fire danger. So I took a drive out there with Callan one day, so we did that. Said you need to put this on your state list to abate and get cleared. So that one's in.
Oh, so you just referred it to fire.
Yeah, he's referred to fire. And he agreed that's one of those that they should be working on.
Okay.
Okay.
What was the other agency?
County.
Okay, like a permit or code violation or something like that?
Yeah, the county needs to take care of Royal Park Court, and they just adopted a new code, and it's along the lines of health and safety. So this does fall under that one, and they're going to need to pick up the battalion and work on that. Because we've done everything we can on that property.
So a lot of times the fire department does take over like a hoarder situation outside?
If it's a fire danger. Like
right.
This one on Hillcrest, he's literally got old dried out pallets stacked all the way around the house.
Oh.
The fences have fallen down.
Yeah.
The siding is in disrepair.
Right.
The house is a fire hazard.
Okay.
Architectural review projects. We had 16 projects reviewed, 16 projects approved. Of those, there was 7 roofs, 3 solars, 1 tree removal, 1 swimming pool, 1 deck, 1 siding replacement, 1 gazebo, and 1 storage.
What's your turnaround time typically for?
2 weeks.
Gotcha.
For ours. We require everything to be in the Monday or the Wednesday before the next Tuesday's meeting.
Okay.
Reason for that is it has to be reviewed by committee, and everything we do here at the CSD has to be publicly posted. So it gives an opportunity for a neighbor that might be paying attention to these to come out and make comments. Okay. Any questions on the report? And then just to give you my staff update, pre-legal notice has been sent to Holly Hills. Holly Hills had a frontage fence put up on half of their frontage. It is over 7 feet tall on top of a concrete retaining wall, and our frontages are not allowed to be close to the fence. Not to mention it's pushed out so far that his neighbor cannot see around that fence pulling out.
What's the rule when it's on top of a retaining wall? Is it still the maximum height?
No, it's actually measured together from what I understand.
The total amount, we're both?
Okay. In El Dorado County Code, I believe they are calculated together.
Okay.
And while we don't do a lot of work with retaining walls, because you have retaining walls that are just decorative, and you also have retaining walls that are load-bearing. In our landscape, if it was in Eastwood Park, yes, we would be reviewing it because they do have those landscape requirements and stuff like that. And all of the new landscape comes through for our review. It has to be done within 90 days of them moving into that house. Now, when it comes to retaining walls, though, we do like to forward those to the county because there's a lot of engineering involved, especially if it's load-bearing. And the laws on retaining walls are weird. I mean, it's depending on what code you're looking at, it's 4 foot before it requires a permit. And in commercial, it might be just 18 inches before it requires a permit. So my wife's an architect, so I've discussed this with her many times, and it's just all over the board. So while the work that he did was more for watershed and stuff like that, we don't have a problem with the retaining wall, but it's the fence. Because here's the other thing. Retaining walls are based on where's finished grade. Same with fence. Where's finished grade? Okay. Well, the gentleman's front yard is over here, and the street is down here. So all we're requesting from him is he's got a 7-foot fence on top of that retaining wall at grade of his yard. Our request is just take it down to 40 inches if it's closed construction as required, or 42 inches if it's 50% open construction. And those fence guidelines are in your CC&R handbook if you want to review them. After which, the fire department came to me after we put this through all the committees and whatnot and said, by the way, man gates cannot no longer be built out of wood if they attach to the home. Well, I let the fire department, they can go and manage that. Because I'm not going through our entire community and asking people to take down man gates. However, they did clarify that it's going to be with new home construction and in possibly with resales and changeover. But what they want to see within 5 feet of the home is non-flammable material. So as things come through ARC, we'll educate the public on that. Otherwise, the fence guidelines say if you're attaching to the home, please check with your local fire department. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, it's item seven is items for future CCNR committee agendas. Any items that needs to be brought to future committee? No?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay. All right. Item number eight, items to take to the board of directors.
I don't think we have anything.
Okay. Matters to and from committee members and staff.
Okay. This is open forum for you guys and for us. So, as you know, we've got a new board clerk, we've got a new GM. Just to give you guys a heads up, we're pretty much done with all the neighborhood campaigns in our large neighborhoods. Woohoo, because that was almost a two-year process. Going through and educating all of our new residents that have moved up here in the last 3 years. And we're starting to have a little bit easier going day. But I don't know if that's just because of the holidays, but we feel that we are getting good education out there. And we continue to do so. Our website, the CCNR ARC page, is being worked on. We're trying to make that much more user-friendly, easier to navigate. We're trying to get our ARC application would be online, and hopefully in the future they would even be able to make payments for their architectural submittals online as well. So we're trying to create a little bit more portal that frees up the front desk, because for the last 4 years that I've been here, we've gone through five different receptionists. Just come and go, which they should. I mean, get some education, get some experience, and move on to something a little bit better.
Are you going to keep doing the neighborhood campaigns?
Well, we will.
Okay.
But we're going to be doing them on some of the smaller neighborhoods when necessary.
Okay.
We still do them, like in, for example, Crazy Horse. The back neighborhood of Crazy Horse allows mm-hmm. doesn't allow any street parking.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't determine what car goes into what house. So we flood that neighborhood with a letter and remind them of the street parking. It usually gets cleaned up.
Okay.
There are other campaigns that we would do. Right now, we've even got a small one in Cameron Park number 12, but it's sectioned down to just two streets, Sandpiper and Eagle, because that's where we found some problems. So we'll continue with that and find other additional educational programs and stuff like that.
When do you anticipate the website to be upgraded? And
it's already had some changes done.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be, if you hovered over the CCNR tab, there was nothing that
dropped
highlighted.
Yeah.
Now it highlights some areas for quick links. So you can get to the complaint form, which brings me up to another question or item, going back to the orientation. If you do see an item in your neighborhood that's just getting under your skin, you as a resident, you can complain. But our request is you do it on that online submit, because that's what triggers us to act. And we also drop that complaint into the file. We are the only agency that will not release the complainant's name. Other agencies will. But if there's a records request, we will black out all names and contact.
You'll redact it.
So know that if you make a complaint, I'm not going to throw you under the bus. Okay. But there's a drop on that drop down now. You can go straight to your complaint form. We're trying to set up so you can go straight to the application. We've got outside agency listings, because a lot of the new community members here think that Cameron Park is a city and we do everything. We're just curb appeal. And we provide our residents with a great place to do activities and events as well. Outside agencies is going to be on there. The fence guidelines are going to be on there. Facts, frequently asked questions. So there's a lot more tools that are going to be in there to help. And then as well as a quick link to the neighborhood CCNRs.
And then the payment portal.
The payment portal, I think, is going to take us some time, because
okay.
we have so many different, it's not just my department. It's got to marry with the other departments as well. And currently we use a program called RecTrack, and that also takes in our billing and whatnot. But what we're looking at is, you know, trying to have something that can take in payments for everything. So that's my comments from staff.
Okay.
General Manager, do you have anything you'd like to say from staff?
Mm-hmm.
No, but if any of you have any questions, if you want to chat, you know, my door's open. As long as I don't have somebody in there meeting, you know, feel free to knock and come on in.
Okay. Great. Any questions?
Well, just on to and fro, just in light of your comments on education, I think that's really an important aspect. You've been out there, but I still think unless people specifically go look for this information, which most of us aren't inclined to do, they're not going to be made aware of, gee, you should get the new paint color checked, or your fence needs to be approved. So I'm not sure what that looks like exactly. Maybe more social media presence.
Which we do all of our newsletters. I do not go on social media, but we do have additional education in all of our newsletters and stuff like that.
Well, so yeah, I would work with our folks on, you know, internally on publicity.
Talk to Christina about putting a little square on the front page of the website that if you're going to make a change, look at the CCNRs, call a committee, don't be safe, don't be sorry, you know, something simple and in red.
Yeah, and at springtime we really push the ARC with the education. We have two platforms. One's an e-newsletter, and there's another, the guidebook also addresses all that stuff. So in spring we really push the ARC.
But I would suggest that only gets to a small fraction of our audience.
Yeah. And that's for those people that sign up. And I can't go out there and not go.
No, but I'm just saying let's spread the word in a broad sense.
Does the ARC do community outreach like you do with their, when you, so that
yeah,
the kids get that out?
Yeah, through the newsletters and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm also, what I've also presented to Jill and Andre and Eric Aston when he was the chair here and stuff like that is, If you guys want to go online, go on YouTube and look up "Are You a Good Neighbor Mountain House."
Yeah,
this was a community that me and my wife worked on architecturally. It's a CSD. They have a 3-minute video. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It hits every single note that Director Israel is tapping into here. It is a 3-minute video that explains it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can do it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The big question is money.
Mm-hmm.
All we need is a drone, a college student that's in the media type training or something like that.
Yeah.
A drone, make it a project, and a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
And if you look at that video, you'll understand what I'm talking about and how simple this would be. But I need help.
Yeah.
And it's not just something I can fly off the seat of my pants.
Right.
Get approvals.
Watch an Apple commercial before.
Apple?
Oh,
you definitely should put the word out for a college student. I'm sure a college student would love to do it.
Resources.
Commercials would make you
right. You need to get a kid who wants to do an internship or something. Yeah. Have him do the video for the gap.
No, I agree with you. That's where we left off.
Yeah.
Andre, since he worked at Sac State, was going to tap into that, and it just didn't happen. So we're back to square one.
Is Mountain House totally specific to
mine? Fit this profile.
Mountain House is in Tracy.
I don't, but I like to have a drone
know
myself.
Sex stages. No, he's got
the video
drones, everything.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
Yeah, it's
just like
okay.
A.
Okay. All right.
So you're the one.
Yeah, it would be
a good idea that we adjourn this meeting.
I second
okay.
That motion.
This meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
And by the way, there's a good football game going on tonight.
Yeah, it was 7-3 when I left my office.